Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Huge shout to FreezePipe for sponsoring today's episode. Smoking cannabis doesn't have to hurt, and for colder, bigger hits, you gotta check out FreezePipe. FreezePipe makes a freezable line of pipes, bubblers, bongs, and more. The secret is their freezable glycerin chambers. Pop one of these chambers in the freezer for 1 hour, and as your smoke passes through the icy chamber, it's instantly cooled by over 300 degrees. The results will shock you, and you'll notice bigger, smoother hits without the throat burn or intense coughing. Most people who use FreezePipe report way less coughing, but everyone reports that these are the smoothest bong rips ever. Smoking this good doesn't have to break the bank either. Stop overpaying for bongs that leave you with that dragging throat and come to the icy side. If you're ready to take bigger hits without the chest or throat burn, go to thefreezepipe.com and use Keepin' for 10% off your next order. That's thefreezepipe.com and code KEEPIN for 10% off anything in the store.
I just thought it was fascinating, Glenn, when you actually hear conversations, you know, that you're not privy to, you know, between his daughter. They're telling his daughter, hey, go control this guy, you know. He's out. He's out.
Well, here's basically the gist of
Before you finish, and let me just say, it's not I'm anti-Trump. I just find this conversation, the conversation, this is fascinating.
Yeah, this is the worst thing that happened. I mean, like, you can't sit there and you know, whitewash this. This is the worst day Trump ever had.
Right.
You know, it's obvious. You can't deflect criticism on this.
There's no bigger symbolism of a sore loser than that day. It was it. I'm on my way out, and I'm going to burn everything up on my way out. Fuck you guys.
He is a sore loser because he's a sore winner, too. So it's
Wasn't unexpected. Right.
Right. You know, the thing that was expected was is that he was going to hold a big rally right next to the Capitol, just as like a loud, obnoxious, sore loser, and all his supporters. Right. So we knew that would happen. Nobody knew it would happen. Nobody knew that the Capitol would get stormed and stuff, and there'd be riot at the Capitol. Nobody expected that, but they did expect the big rally and save, stop the steal, you know, and stuff and all that. But the thing about it is though. You know, the whole January 6th committee thing, like this whole thing has been very political, right? Because, bro, the DOJ is already, like, they spent over a year, they're investigating this. They got all the video. They got, like, so it's like, you know, so the whole January 6th committee is like, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Like, wait a second, the DOJ is already investigating this. So it's like, this, we know this is political, but you're trying to make it sound like, you know. But the whole thing, the reason that they did this is for exactly what we're going to talk about. So get people's text messages and leak them to the news and make them and make Trump look, make every like make them that the whole design of this was to use their power to make them look bad. And like, you know, they really have trouble making them look bad because they look bad, you know. So it's like, you know,
well, I don't think it looks how do they look bad releasing these tapes? You know, all it shows is this madman fucking running our nation, not giving a fuck. What if they somehow, some way, as enraged as they are and dumbasses as they are, because we're talking about a little minority, and of course they're going to make it seem like a big deal. And then when you see the visual on TV, which I could not believe what I was seeing, you know, bro, if those people were enraged, if they would have found Pence, they'd probably beat the fuck out of him. Maybe even, who knows if they would have killed him. Some Yahoo would have killed him.
Pelosi, yeah. Who knows? They were looking for Pelosi.
You know, just like that wild motherfucker that went to that pizza place in Washington, D.C., looking for the fucking, wild, you know, the guy that had a torture chamber under there with a gun. Some guy drove down there 2 hours. You know, you never know who the fuck you're fucking talking to or getting to. That's why it's very dangerous when you have a platform and you try to rile people up, because you end up riling up the wrong people sometimes.
Exactly.
And you got to take accountability for that. Yeah.
But I'll question that.
Yeah.
What, bro? I mean, there's nut cases all over the planet Earth, and it's like what you want to try to do is try to, like, you know, you try to rein in the herd, but it's like, how can you really kind of be responsible for the stray dogs? You know, they're nuts. It's like, you know, so it's like, you know, you
can, but it doesn't help if you're riling them up.
It doesn't help.
You know,
like,
if you have a dog that's a violent dog and you're not fucking with him, more than likely he's gonna be in his. But if you're antagonizing him all the time, he's going to fucking attack.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what they do.
Well,
you know, and it's sad. And it's sad. And it's sad because we also saw on the Facebook algorithms how, you know, depressive topics were the most viewed and negative messages were the most shared. You're like, wow.
Just speaking of algorithms, just a little sidebar here. Did you see the tweet I put up?
No.
So, like, you know how, like, on SportsKita and stuff and some of these sites, they'll show what they'll report what we said on the podcast, right? And it was just fascinating because I just wanted to just Google Disco Inferno Sports Kita, because they have post, I don't go on their site or follow, you know, whatever, but I just sometimes it's funny.
Real quick, because I've heard this name a lot on this show. Where are they from?
I don't know. Well, Joe, you probably know more Sports Kita than I do, but they're a very big site for wrestling and other pop culture content, sports
Could
content.
You feel the same,
it's based in India, right?
Yeah, they're based in India, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, because one of those guys reached out and he had like an Indian surname.
Right, exactly. Raj. So, and he's actually a pretty good guy. So,
well, Raj, you never responded to me. I said, what's up? So,
no, you know, Joe responded to him for the thing with Joe tried to set up. Yeah. By the way, you were gone.
Yeah.
We were going to set up that thing with Sports Kita, but because of they're in India and there's just, we can't coordinate times.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It was tough.
Right.
But
this
we're still
going to
do this,
right?
Joe? You're still going to get a hold of them or what?
Because there's no, like, with our schedule, it's like 3 in the morning there right now when we record, right? There's just such a weird difference. So even if we try to do it, you know, at noon.
Can you pre-record something and send it to them?
I'm gonna check on that, yeah.
Motherfucker, that doesn't have to be live.
That's what I was saying, yeah. I said, you know, could we get a script or something like that? Or what do you tell us what you want us to do? And I just haven't heard back yet.
Right. So
I'm sure you just fucked that up somehow.
Okay. But just a little sidebar here. This was kind of very interesting, bro. Because like I go on these sites and I look at like in the record, they're saying Disco said this and the you know whatever, and that shows the transcript of what I said.
Right.
And it's all bad grammar. It's not. Right. And it's not even kind of what I said. Right. But I looked at like the article. Okay. This is what it says on the article. Okay, like this. This is article generated by algorithm source. Okay, the article is like computer generated. It's like they're not like these. Some of these articles that are going up are not like somebody like Sean Ross Sapp listening to what we said, you know, putting down, you know, transcribing it and stuff. Everything then, bro, the article is like a computer generated algorithm article.
Mm.
All right, and it's interesting because like I see this in like my fantasy football league, right? In my fantasy football league on the website, it says like rate your team, okay? And so after you draft your team will be like you'll have your team and you'll plug in your team into the thing, and it'll come out with like a written report of your team,
right?
But the report is very, you know, like a you know the Disco Infernos team. Looks to be very strong at wide receiver. This should be a strength of your team. This, like, very kind of like if you heard like a recorded computer
computer generated,
bro, robotic language or whatever.
They're doing that with our podcast.
Hmm.
These sites are like transcripts. Like you read some of the transcriptions and it's like gibberish and misspelled words and stuff. And I'm like, this isn't art. This article is making stuff. Somebody's reading this. They're sounding like if it looks like I'm talking, I sound like a moron. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not even proper grammar.
I don't hear.
I'm just saying. Right.
Right.
Yeah. But that was a side. But we should go look when we record next week.
Yeah.
When we do the actual show, I'm going to pull up some of these and read them because they're really fascinating stuff. But it just shows you how like. We're so CGI now, you know, like computer generated. This thing. Right. It's fascinating.
Even
so,
writing articles, yeah.
Yeah, like in China, I was reading this thing that like they have the kids already in the kindergarten and elementary, like they have these things connected to their heads,
right?
Or artificial intelligence,
right. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's so let's go wild. With this. Joe, do you got the some of the stuff here from this?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So. I got this is from Vanity Fair report. Kimberly, how do you say her name? Guilfoyle.
Who?
Christine Guilfoyle. Yeah, the girlfriend of Trump Jr. Right.
Yeah, she's the headline is she's boasting the text messages.
What's her name?
Kimberly Guilfoyle. She used to be on Fox News.
Yeah, I know who she is. I didn't know that was her name.
In the first week of this year, Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr. were subpoenaed by the New York Attorney General. Several days later, their brother Eric went on TV. And embarrass himself.
She's writing this?
This is a Vanity Fair article. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She was in the headline, yeah.
All right.
On Tuesday, the New York Attorney General announced that she had significant evidence of fraud committed by the Trump Organization. On Wednesday, we learned that Eric Trump and Kimberly Guilfoyle's phone records had been subpoenaed and obtained by the January 6th committee, which is presumably not great news. According to CNN, the House panel is interested in Eric Trump thanks to his involvement with the Stop the Steal rally that preceded the Capitol attack, which left 5 people dead. During an event, the former president's son asked the crowd, "I've got a question for you. Is there any person here that actually thinks that Joe Biden won this election? I don't either, guys. I don't either." He also called the people assembled, some of whom subsequently took part in a violent attempt to overthrow the election, patriots, and went on TV the night prior and threatened retribution against any lawmakers refusing to block the certification of Joe Biden's win. And he said, "Any senator or congressman on this side that does not fight tomorrow, I'm telling you will not. Their political career is over because the MAGA movement is going nowhere." For her part, Guilfoyle reportedly gathered with Don Jr. and the president in the Oval Office on the morning of January 6th and indulged the fantasy that Pence would help overturn the election results, according to the Washington Post. Of the throngs of people assembling, Guilfoyle reportedly told the president, "They're just reflecting the will of the people. This is the will of the people." Later, she helped whip the rallygoers into a frenzy, telling them, "Look at all of us out here, God-loving, freedom-loving, liberty-loving patriots that will not let them steal this election. We will not allow the liberals and the Democrats to steal our dream or steal our elections." And according to a report from ProPublica, she boasted in a series of text messages about the million she had raised for the event. CNN notes that the subpoenaed and obtained phone records appear to be the first time the Select Committee has targeted a member of the Trump family in what marks a significant escalation of the investigation into Trump's role in the January 6th insurrection. While these records do not contain the content of the conversations, they do show incoming and outgoing calls and the date, time, and length, as well as a log of texts. The information could prove critical as investigators piece together exactly what Donald Trump and company were up to during, before, and after the attempted coup. Last month, the House panel revealed messages sent to Donald Trump Jr. sent by Donald Trump Jr. to then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, in which the president's namesake insisted that his father needed to denounce the violence. He's got to condemn this shit ASAP. The Capitol Police tweet is not enough, Don Jr. wrote in one text. Meadows wrote back, I'm pushing it hard, I agree. We need an Oval Office address. He has to lead now. It has gone too far and gotten out of hand. Trump, of course, waited hours to say anything publicly because he was reportedly too busy, quote, gleefully watching the violence unfold on TV and saying things like, look at all the people fighting for me. An attorney for Guilfoyle told CNN the acquisition of her phone records is of no consequence to her because she has absolutely nothing to hide or be concerned about.
Do you have any actual text messages? That's what I wanted.
Yeah, no, it says here that it doesn't show the content of the conversations, the subpoena.
Well, what were you reading yesterday, Conan, that you wanted to talk
about? Yeah,
well,
I was reading where there were about
Trump. Why don't you
Trump
just screw Ivanka Trump text messages?
That's what I did. This is these articles all came up, but it doesn't have any content. I looked at three or four of them, Reuters and CNN and whatnot. It just says that they're asking Ivanka to talk with them, and they have the phone records, but they don't have the content.
Wait, do this. Dude, leaked Ivanka Trump text messages.
Okay.
Let me look this up here. Because I want to hear like what the yeah, because
yeah,
you
so
can imagine
because yeah.
Like everything that we've seen, because I've seen some of them on the news, you know, Sean Hannity and stuff. They're like, right. Bro, your dad's got to stop this,
right?
Well, there's, you know, it's like, you know, so yeah, I mean, like that. But this isn't really old. This isn't news, kind of.
Yeah.
We kind of knew all this like back in the day that they were trying to tell, you know, Trump.
Yeah, but to actually hear it and read it, you're like, wow, right. You know, like, you know, it's a whole nother
right.
thing, you know. I love the one where. Trump had a set of balls on him. I will give him that. I love the one where he told the motherfucker, the guy goes, hey, is it true that you told the guy you can be a patriot or you can be a pussy? Because those are words that you use. He goes, I won't deny that.
Yeah. Progressive presents advice on new teen drivers.
You know, the hardest part about teaching your teen to drive is the chafing from the seatbelt. But the best part is the grip strength you built in your knuckles. Okay, now let's pull out of the driveway.
Here's another tip. Offset a chunk of the cost of adding a teen to your insurance with Progressive's Teen Driver Discount and get a break from the break. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states or situations.
Tax day is coming.
Oh, no.
But if you sign up for Robinhood Gold's IRA with a 3% match, you can get up to $195 for the 2023 tax year.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up at Robinhood.com/boost by tax day to get the biggest contribution match on the market. Subscription fees apply. You know you got the
most. Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
I found texts from Hannity and I found texts from Guilfoyle, but nothing from Ivanka.
Yeah, nothing from Ivanka. Yeah, I've seen those. It's like they're all, you know, just you got to, it's the same thing that we've been saying. Read a couple.
Okay. Yeah. So this is.
Read some from Sean Hannity.
Yeah, this is Hannity's text released.
Because he was texting both, Ivanka and him.
One specific December 2020 text from Hannity to Meadows highlighting the letter reads, we can't lose the entire White House counsel's office. I do not see January 6th happening the way he is being told. After the 6th, he should announce he will lead the nationwide effort to reform voting integrity, go to Florida and watch Joe mess up daily. Stay engaged. When he speaks, people will listen. The letter to Hannity also highlights texts from the night before the insurrection, including one in which Hannity said he was very worried about the next 48 hours, and another to Meadows in which he wrote, Pence pressure, White House counsel will leave. The letter says it appears from other text messages that Hannity may have spoken directly with Trump on January 5th regarding planning for the following day. Hannity had previously criticized the violence that took place on January 6th, but he's also been sharply critical of the committee and its work, saying on the air December 13th after his texts were revealed, we've been telling you this is a waste of your time and money. They already have a predetermined outcome.
They do. Yeah, that's true. But like they're...
Yeah, but there's more text. The text is what I wanted to talk about. Anyways, yeah. I'm going to look for them right now while I'm talking.
Well, dude, because you're the one that like brought it up because you were the one that was reading them.
I know.
So you should know where they are. All right, yeah, so this is we can edit this out.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing. This is what we over – because I've seen some of these. And so, you know, if you really kind of look back at this, right, Trump is kind of like a political outsider. And I always go back to this because this is interesting, right? Is Michael Cohen – When he was testifying before Congress, okay, and these is two very important things. Is like, did Trump ever text you or stuff? He says like Trump doesn't use text messages, and it's like, well, did Trump ever email? It's like Trump doesn't use email, okay? So Trump kind of like the old. We've talked about this before, like the old school gangster guy. He keeps his fingers clean,
Right.
It's like he doesn't have any digital track that you can, like, he has no texters out there, you know, just come, you know, unless you're recording.
And he was probably
saying,
taught by that. But that, remember that attorney that was really famous that was also his dad's attorney?
Which one?
For Trump.
I don't know. But let me make my point. Yeah. But then they also talk about, as Cohen would talk about, how Trump would never say, do this. His instructions were always very like, boy, I wish it, wouldn't it be great if this happened?
Right.
Like okay, so he literally just covers like anything that like keeps him shielded from like, you know, like culpability, right?
Mob, yeah.
So what I'm looking at, what I'm thinking, like, this is based on these factors, this is what probably happened leading up to that day, right? Is that he's like looking at this thing, you know, like he, you know, he thinks he got ripped off and stolen. And here's the only thing, like, legally speaking, I don't think there was people that programmed the voting machines and went in there nefariously, like, you know, it's just like actual widespread like cheating like that. But the cheating part comes across where Trump's original battle has been all along, Trump versus the press. The press was not fair. They withhold information. So it's like, and the Democrats had the press in their pocket. So in his mind, this is kind of like not a fair fight because they're cheating against him, right? So, but he probably saw Pence as like, well, Jesus, well, Pence can stop the steal because, you know, the vice president, if he doesn't certify the votes, I'm still the president. Right. Like kind of like, you know, hoping for some miracle Hail Mary thing at the end and stuff like that. Right. And like probably doesn't say, but Pence isn't going to like, you know, like, I know you're going to find things that, Mike, if you don't do this, we're going to get you. It's like kind of saying, but boy, it'd be great if Pence would do this. But Pence going, I'm not going to do this. It's like illegal. It's like an authoritarian overthrow, you know?
And
like,
I remember,
like, yeah.
A fact, I remember one of the texts from Ivanka.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know to who. She goes, Pence is a decent man. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he, like, she even
recognized.
Right,
he's not going to do it. Right,
this
right.
Guy's,
so yeah, Trump. Yeah. Trump was running out of bullets in his gun to use.
Yeah.
Okay, and just like it did, Hail Mary, trying to think, like, we can do this.
But I just thought it was amazing, the text that I don't remember them and I can't find them, but basically what they were, Glenn, just take my word for it, was you could see it was like, hey, somebody stop this guy. You know, can somebody talk some fucking sense into him? And they're talking to his daughter, you know, kind of like, stand down, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Right.
There's a good, there's
not a good look.
Because here's the thing to do. If you look at the actions.
Yeah.
Because I'm a poker player.
Yeah.
It's like a guy at the poker table that was gradually losing all his chips and only had a couple left.
Yeah, you're
and
that.
And is trying to bluff people.
Too.
Go all right. The one that just like, he keeps throwing all his chips in there and he keeps losing. And he's mad.
Like you.
Disco, you shut your mic off. Yeah. Yeah, there's a good book, Conan.
No, like,
if you
but I'm saying, like, he's like the type of guy that, like, he's yelling at the dealer. Yeah. You know, he's yelling at the cocktail waitress. Or being, right, he's one of those guys.
Hurry up. Hurry up with the drinks.
This is what this played
bad
out.
Luck.
So then everybody's like sitting there saying, okay, if it stopped the steal, do you have any evidence?
Right.
So then he starts doing all these court cases challenged legally. And what do you lose? Like 61 court cases or something? Like they all got thrown out, but there's like one case still open because somebody, you know, but it's like, bro, this guy.
What a bad look on the way out.
He went out. I'm not crediting him for this.
No.
But the one thing Trump is different, right? He's a fighter.
Right.
A fighter that was losing the, like, you know, like on Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where the guy's getting his arms cut off, his legs, but he's still fighting. That's what this is. Trump is a fighter. He's a dirty fighter. He's a heel. Right. He's a worker. He was, and this whole thing collapsed. His just world collapsed around him. He lost his presidency, and this is how a Donald Trump
reacts.
Television, the television character of the apprentice that would fire people and, you know, just kind of like a dick, you know. This is what happens when this guy loses on the world stage, and this is how he acted, you know. And I don't think anybody's going to say, this was, you know, well, I like him. He's a fighter. It's like guys like me are like, okay, I'm done with Trump. I don't want him near the presidency again. Number one, the guy's he's going to be 78 years old, okay? Like, I don't want another old guy. Like, I'm ready to move on to the next guy.
Right?
Of course. Like, it's fascinating that, like, social media is so kind of, like, geared towards young people. But the political narratives are all, like, geared towards kind of old people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a very weird dynamic, you know?
Right.
But did you find these?
Where does he stand right now? The assumption is he's going to try to
run. Well, here's the thing. And this is what was probably going to happen. Okay. Because the thing is, bro, Trump is like the wrestling fan. Or the wrestling guy, he's got a strong base of diehards.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you're not going to – what are you going to do? You got all these people that are going to vote for Trump. There's probably like 70% of the Republican Party, but like 30% of the Republican Party is ready to move on. So what are you going to do? You know, like we're looking at a guy like Ron DeSantis who just comes across as sharp as a whip, younger, just defies all the stupid shit and everything and just goes and does what he does, and people are looking at him. But what's probably going to happen is – now people are stirring the pot up. Oh, Trump is scared of DeSantis. They're trying to pit them against each other. I think DeSantis is going to probably stay in Florida as governor, which they kind of need, and wait till like 2028 for like his run because he's still young, you know. But I'd like to see a guy like him now, you know, like to go against the old, you know, Biden, the 80-year-old guy and stuff, you know, whatever, whoever they're going to put up there. But it's like, and I think a lot of Republicans feel that way. It's like we're very much anti-progress, anti-woke. It's like the anti-woke faction of the Republican Party that just look at the crazy shit and say, we can't let these crazy people in charge, right? Like, we're like just, okay, we just want the best guy to go against those guys, and we kind of don't want Trump because Trump will just throw more gas on the fire. And that's what we don't want. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're supposed to be return to normalcy with Joe Biden. It's not return to normalcy.
Oh,
it's like we think worse. It's like return to normalcy if we have a Republican – you know, kind of like moderate guy in there, but like the Joe Biden return to normalcy has been like worse, you know. So it's like, and then there's a lot of people that think like me, but we would have to sit there and kind of accept the larger part of the base wanting Trump to run, and we kind of like just hold our nose, like, oh Jesus, you know, he probably might lose again because it's ridiculous how the Trump's base don't understand that, like, from a political standpoint, to win this thing is like, you know, you can't take your best heel, because that's going to pull the people that hate him out of the woodwork to vote against him. You know what I'm saying? There's other people would stay on the sidelines, but just will. There's people that just will never vote for Donald Trump again. And I'm just worried that, like, if he runs, all these people come out and says, you know, and you know, just the so crazies get back.
You would
in
say
again, yeah?
you would identify more as a Republican, right?
I consider myself bro, right leaning in the middle guy.
Right.
I'm not a MAGA guy. You know, I'm saying like right. I would never wear the MAGA hat or go to a rally.
Not
or
in public.
I'm just a person that looks at a lot of the positions that the left is taking that are kind of like nuts. And I'm like, whoa, I can't. Whatever side is against that, that's the side that I'm on. You know, right. that's the way I look at that. I think a lot of people are too.
Yeah.
A lot of people are. And a lot of Democrats are too, which is why they're having a lot of problems in their party. You know, we're looking at the crazy people. We're going like, why are all these weird progressive policies kind of like going forward? It's like, yeah, you know, we need to debate over this. It's like, you know, so yeah.
I can't believe there's only two political parties. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
that's the most fascinating thing.
Where's the one for us?
We're stuck choosing from one or the other.
Right.
And it's like, well I don't want either. It's like, right. Well, you're screwed. It's like, okay, right. Well, I am screwed. You know, it's like, what do you do? You know, so I don't know.
All right. Before we get out of here, is there anybody else that you like in the Republican Party besides DeSantis in the future?
I would just kind of just say, I don't know, because nobody's really, you know,
anybody
like
in general.
Trump.
How about anybody in general?
I don't know. I mean, 3 years from now, like I said, I like DeSantis.
Have you seen the mayor of Miami, Suarez?
Is he a Republican?
Yeah.
What's he like?
Yeah, just very sharp, but you know, like.
Is he Cuban? Young,
yeah, I think he's Cuban. Yeah.
Right.
But he's like a. Just a young blood that I think they needed. Check him out. You'll see what I'm talking about. He's got a shot.
I'm for any young sharp guy that makes
sense.
You see him on TV, it's like, this guy's making pretty good sense. You know, it's like, right. You know, so like, yeah, that's right. Anything like that I'm looking for. I think everybody is.
What were you saying, George?
Just real quick to before we wrap this up. This is who the Washington Post lists as the top 10 GOP presidential candidates for 2024. Mike Pompeo, Greg Abbott, Texas governor, Chris Christie, I don't see that, Donald Trump Jr., Ted Cruz, Mike Pence, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, and number one is Trump. But that's who the Washington Post considers.
Yeah, I figure the top three would be Tim Scott, DeSantis, and Nikki Haley. Those are top three by percentage-wise?
Yeah. Well, Trump's number one.
Yeah, Trump's number one, right. So, but those three.
That cult of personality because you know what? You know, Biden's very boring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. And this Tim Scott's a black Republican.
Yeah,
which,
I know
you kind of like would be unusual to run, but it's like, you know,
there's black Republicans.
Right. They're getting, and there's more of them than there were 4 years ago because of Biden. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know. I think we're ways away The main thing's going
to
happen.
But I think we need a party for guys like us and guys that think like us. You know what I'm saying? Why do you have to pick left or right? You know, that's
we're
kind of
like we're libertarians, or
here's the worst part. I think I said this the other day. Here's the worst part, Glenn. Why is there a popular vote if at the end of the day it's up to an electoral vote? I mean, what's that all about?
Because here's the thing. This is what people have like said, like the reason they can't understand why it was set up like this. Okay, so it's a confederation. The United States is actually just a confederation of states under the umbrella of the United States of America, right? So each state has a lot of rights.
Right.
Like you can see it from one state to another. Everything's completely different and stuff. So the people have always said, like, you know, well, how can like a state like Wyoming only have two senators, you know, two senators, and California, who has 21 million people, they only have two. Okay. Right. And people say, oh, okay, I understand that. But let's look at the prism under when the Constitution was enacted and what the country looked like before, you know, in 1776, right? This conceivably, hypothetically speaking, could happen at any time. Okay. And you're seeing that happen now. What if, hypothetically speaking, California has their big earthquake? Okay. 15 million people are displaced. They got to go move and go move to other states, Wyoming, Idaho, boom, jizja. And all of a sudden, the demographics change in all those states over the course. Let's say this is 50, 60 years, but we're still under our Constitution. Idaho is 10 million. Wyoming has 10 million. You know, in California, only has 4 million now because an earthquake, you know, a natural disaster wiped out people, and a bunch of people had to leave and go live somewhere else. That's conceivable. Hmm. So breaking the Constitution down, you could conceivably draw it up like that. Okay, every state is going to have two.
You're going
to
tell
the
me it's fair that Wyoming has the same amount of senators as California. I mean, you know, California, just to show you the magnitude of the power of this state, is like the fifth strongest economy in the world. Okay, mm-hmm. It's fucking, so you can't compare what California is bringing to the game to what Wyoming's bringing to the game. You know what I'm saying?
I think that
the representation should be such. And if you have a decline in population, let it reflect that. Take, you know, instead of 40.
But you already do. It's Congress. That the House of Representatives is divvied up like that.
Right.
Like how you California's where, but there's two branches because now there's checks and balances. So one of the branches is a state representation. Everybody has two. The other checks and balances, it's like, okay, whoever has the most people, they have more representation than the other ones. So when we pass laws, we have to pass them through both for everything to be fair. And one of them is just set up as kind of like the control group, each state two reps. You know what I'm saying? So that's like, you know, but that's why the other states, that's why Congress and Senate, like, representation is very important. You know what I'm saying? That's why, the midterm elections, like, you know, this is where the Democrats and the Republicans fight to gain power. You know, because there's the president, the House, and the Senate. Three branches. Right. You know, and then judicial court, Supreme Court, everything, the courts. But like, you know, it is kind of, if you look at it that way, it is kind of fair. You know, because we are fairly represented by representation in the Congress. Each state has fair representation because everybody has two in the Senate. It's like, so
I just feel that it should be more like the House of Representatives. If you ain't,
I'm not going
to
disagree.
Whoever's bringing most to the game should have more power and more say so.
I would maybe not disagree, but then it would kind of be like the reason we have the Electoral College, and it's like we don't have just a popular vote, is because you can't let just the single largest populated areas in this country all dictate policy for further, like, 45 other states.
Then why have a vote?
We do have a vote, but the way we do the vote, we kind of just divvy the math up to make it kind of fair.
What's a popular vote for?
Bragging rights.
I mean, You know what I'm saying?
You know, we don't choose it. That's the thing. We're not choosing the president by popular vote. We're choosing the representatives by popular vote.
Yeah,
Each representative is chosen
by the president
because it's a separate branch and it's a confederation of states.
Why even have a vote then?
We're not one big giant state.
Let the electoral college decide, because at the end, that's who does it anyway.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah,
I like the checks and balances. I'm fine. I'm actually fine with either way. Because I honestly think that there could be a shifting in, you know, because there's just more there's more Democrats now because California, New York, and stuff, they're very popular. They're the largest populated areas, and they're completely, you know, like 75-80% Democrat, right? But over the course of time, you could definitely see those demographics changing. People are leaving those states and going to other states, and maybe they're turning, you know. I mean, it could change, but like we're in a period of time of 230-something years since the Constitution. You know, this is just a window of a 4 to 8 year period that we're looking at. Like this thing can change. Like what would this country look like 50 years from now? Can anybody really like fathom what it's going to look like? And nobody's like, I'm not sure, you know. But we still got the same Constitution. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Did you see this? This is fascinating. Just speaking of just racism, real quick.
Right.
Did you see this story? Okay. Let me just find this here. This hockey player in the AHL. Okay. Yeah. Let's read this to you. All right. And this is this guy's name is where's this? Okay. Yeah. This is the AHL. Okay. And I literally like just before we got in the air, I was looking at this, and I want to dive in. Not dive, but this is kind of right. Something that. Okay. This guy's name is Christoph. Harabic, H-R-A-B-I-K. He's an American hockey player. He's from the San Jose Barracuda forward Christoph Harabic for 30 games after he made a racist gesture towards Boko Imama of the Tucson Roadrunners in a January 12th game. Okay, now I'm going to read you this, and everybody in this country would be like to show the difference between like where cultures. We are on the world stage with cultures and racism, right? A source told ESPN that Robic, 22, imitated the movements of a monkey in a taunt that targeted a mama who was black. The taunt was spotted by players on the Roadrunners bench, and Robic was confronted on the ice by Tucson's Travis Barron while a mama was held back by a linesman during a stoppage in play. The AHL became aware of this incident on January 13th and started an investigation during which Robic was moved from all team activities. Now, I'm going to take a wild guess, okay? I'm looking this up in real time right now.
Right.
That this Robic guy is from one of these Eastern European countries that are like, bro, you go overseas and like a lot of the Eastern European European places where they play are still very right wing racist, you know, like being the bro. These old fans school. Of games are throwing bananas at players. They're doing the monkey chants. They're doing like, and this is actually happening in places like, oh, okay, we're not going for 5 years that. You know that country's banned from competing in competition, but I'm gonna figure out. I'm gonna take a wild guess where this guy's from. Mm. Okay, probably from maybe here it is, Christoph Robic. Probably from one of these Eastern European places.
Give it bury a country just for
Slovakia.
Yeah,
like from where?
Give hockey. Us a okay, country. Wait. The American Hockey League. Okay, God, the whole stories that you're looking up when you Google is about this incident. I can't even find up just the basics about the guy.
What's his name?
From Czechoslovakia.
Uh-huh. Right.
Perfect.
So
that's okay. Okay, so let's look at this. Listen to this. Czechoslovakia racism sports. Okay? Czechoslovakia racism sports. Google this in real time.
Poland's the all same right. way.
Yeah, Poland's the same way, you know? Yeah. Let me see.
Finland.
Has a football
Remember
scandal
Tony
exposed
Hong?
endemic race like they call it, bro. They call it endemic racism over there. It's like exposed endemic. Has a football scandal exposed endemic racism in the Czech Republic? And it's like it's all these things about players and doing monkey chants at each other. Supposed like you, there's parts of the world that we think about racism and stuff. Everything. Well, let me read this story. Last week, Czech champion Slava Prague qualified for the quarterfinals of the Europa League, the continent's second-tier tournament, after beating Scottish side Glasgow Rangers. But near the end of the heated game, in which several of Slavia's players were on the end of dangerous tackles by Rangers players, Prague's Andrei Kudela was seen cupping his hand and whispering something in the ear of Rangers midfielder Glenn Kamara, a Finnish national of Sierra Leonean descent. Kamara reacted angrily and complained to the referee, while Rangers' teammate can be heard shouting that Andrei called him a monkey. Kamara later argued that he was a effing monkey. Kudela denied this, asserting that he only called his opponent an effing guy. Okay? But it's like, dude, it's like this is happening. Could you imagine, like in our country, an incident like this happening? Like an NFL football team and like one of the players calls another player a monkey.
Yeah, I could imagine that happening probably in the 50s because we were
right, exactly. Right, exactly. Way back. We've totally grown up from that. And it's funny, like, you know, when people sit there and say, like, oh, we're white supremacist and racist, kind of, I'm like, dude, go look around the world. It's like, we've definitely progressed. There's still some places that are absolutely just still stuck in the, like you said, the 50s, you know? And it's like, you hear these stories and it's like, it's like, hey, we're not as bad as people want to make it sound here. We still have work to do, obviously, but it's like, you want to be like this? Right.
This place, hey, racial harmony will be much better in 20 years and in 40 years because now there's a mixing of the races where everybody was kept separated. Like, there was a time where blacks went to one school, whites went to one school, Hispanics went to one school. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's together. They're dating. They're
breeding. New York used to be that, like, if you were the Italian in the Italian community, if, like, one of the Italian kids was dating a black girl, it's like, you didn't do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But now look at New York.
Bro, I still remember. Wait, listen to this, Glenn, and you may too. I still can remember very vividly when if somebody was, like, a mixed race walking down the street, people looking at them, like, straight up, like.
Like, what are you doing in our neighborhood?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, and now the neighborhoods are all kind of very there's pockets of places where obviously they're still old school because it's generations of the same people but living on the same
Georgia
street.
Guys out
right,
there.
Right. but it's like, you can't sit there and deny it. It's like, you just look around at social gatherings over the course of, like, if you took a picture of the local pub or local big bar in the town that's been there forever. Like, everybody goes there to watch the games. If you, like, every 10 years took a picture of the people in there, like, 40 years ago, they'd all be white. You know, 10 years later, there'd be 5% black people in there. 10 years after that, there'd be, like, 15% black people in there. Right. Then you look at, like, today, it's like 60-40. And it's like, you can't sit there and just not look at that. Your visual picture of what's going on around you and say, well, that's got to count for something. We're obviously progressing. It's just, look at the map. It's like, there's way more interracial dating. There's way more interracial couples. There's way more integration. It's just happening. It's like, there's people out there that just want to say, no, it's like the younger people. Like, the younger people are the ones that don't see the progress that we've seen. And they're the ones that just shout.
Right, because they're like, fuck it. There should be nothing left, and they don't understand it. It's been a long fucking process,
Right, exactly.
But it's ending, each generation is less racist, saying? Mm-hmm. And they're not going to put up with that shit, so.
And it seems like as we become less racist, it's like, that's a very divisive thing. The media doesn't want to let us become less racist. They want to kind of, like, keep us divided and keep us, and it's like, wait a second, so whatever. But yeah, that was a good talk.
All right. So this has been K100 Talks. Enjoy the rest of the show. Boom.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent, being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.